Blog Talk Radio.
Trey Thomas. President Biden is just hours away from sitting down with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The two will meet in Geneva, Switzerland for the first time since Biden took office. Biden has vowed to press Putin on key issues, saying he'll establish clear red lines in areas where they disagree. Among the topics Biden will likely bring up are recent cyber attacks, Ukrainian sovereignty, and Russian interference in U.S. elections. The Senate is sending the House a measure that would make Juneteenth a national holiday. Juneteenth will be observed this weekend, and a new poll shows more Americans understand the importance of the date. Rory O'Neill reports.
A majority of Americans at least know what Juneteenth is. A Gallup survey finds 28% say they know nothing at all about the day that marks the end of slavery. Nearly 70% of black Americans say they know a little or a lot about the anniversary of that day in 1865 when slaves in Texas were told of their freedom. Those slaves were informed more than 2 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation.
A federal court is blocking President Biden's pause of oil and gas leasing. The court in Louisiana issued a temporary injunction after more than a dozen states sued over the move. Biden ordered his administration not to issue any new leases in offshore waters or public lands so they could conduct an environmental review. The pilot who safely landed an airliner in the Hudson River is now landing an ambassador position. President Biden nominated Chesley Sully Sullenberger to be his ambassador to the Council of International Civil Aviation Organization. That's a United Nations agency that works to develop global aviation standards. You're listening to NBC News Radio.
Take a moment and rate your lifestyle on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is a life that's nothing like the life you were promised after getting good grades, a college degree, and a good job in corporate America. 10 is the life of your dreams. If you answered anything less than a 10, tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del, self-made millionaire and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, will show you how to live the life of your dreams and pay for it with passive income.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 71, 72 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 52. For Thursday and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected, and high temperatures gradually increasing from the mid-70s to possibly 80 by Sunday. Partly cloudy skies through the overnight, low temperatures in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Motivation and inspiration are powerful tools that change and influence perspectives, voices, and projects that shape the world. With all the negativity in the world, it can be hard to find those rare and beautiful stories that tell of inspired spiritual activism and individual healing journeys. Walk the path with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, on the show Heart, Change, Consciousness, where we inspire listeners to take action towards a more just world. We'll hear from authors, change makers, influencers, activists, poets, filmmakers, and cultural workers who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Heart Change Consciousness allows us to understand the world from different perspectives and highlights what is possible when we are fearless and open ourselves to our soul purpose and engage each other across boundaries. So let's self-heal and open the path to self-sovereignty. Heart Change Consciousness begins now. Hello, all. I'm Dr. Trish DeRocher here with Emily Garrett today on Heart Change Consciousness. Thank you so much for being with us, Emily, and listeners. So Emily is a seeker, a teacher, a practitioner, a yoga teacher trainer, business owner, mother, wife, friend, neighbor, and community member. Emily advocates for healing and presence through teaching yoga classes, mentoring humans, parenting children, and engaging in open-hearted, courageous conversations. body wisdom and quest for knowledge are and always have been the two main drives in Emily's life. Through running her own business, raising two children, recreating a marriage that was falling apart, and teaching and training thousands of yoga students throughout her career, Emily has experienced what is truly necessary to integrate the spacious, blissed-out post-yoga feeling with the messy truth of real life, and we all need that. Emily is a 500-hour advanced certified yoga teacher, certified pelvic floor yoga teacher, and a dedicated meditator in the Shambhala Buddhist tradition. She teaches workshops and classes on vinyasa yoga, yin and restorative yoga, and meditation. She also loves working one-on-one with practitioners to guide them toward activating their full potential. So I think of Emily as a teacher's teacher. And on a more personal note, Emily was my very first yoga teacher when I was an undergrad student who was going to yoga classes at the college to help manage my anxiety during the semester. And I still remember the first time Emily cued me into Warrior II and just the power that I felt in my body. I didn't really know that my body could be a source of power or that I was allowed to take up space in it. Emily's earthy, grounded energy was exactly what I needed to drop into my body and to realize that I had not been in my body. So, Emily, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Trish. I'm happy to be here.
Emily, before we move on to talk all things pelvic floor, which is what we'll be doing today, I'm wondering if you can just share with listeners more about your practices and ways in which to connect with you and find out more about your work.
Sure, yeah. I run a yoga studio that's based in Burlington, Vermont, where I teach yoga classes, yoga workshops, and intensives and training for yoga practitioners and also teachers. And I also do one-on-one work with people, mentoring work, which I do through the virtual platform. So my websites are Laughing River Yoga, which is the yoga studio that I run, and Emily Garrett Yoga, which is where I do my mentoring practices.
Awesome. So we are going to get into talking about the pelvic floor today because this is a more recent love of Emily's that she's really like poured into. But I'm wondering if you can share with us a little bit about your journeying, both personal and professional, that's really brought you to do this work and helped kind of set up for this passion that you feel around working with people on healing the pelvic floor.
Sure, yeah. So thanks for asking. The journey is sort of, it's not a linear journey. It's certainly a circular journey. My first awareness of my pelvic floor was through yoga classes, learning about Mula Bandha and what that is. And then I worked for a long time with a teacher who would have us, put us in yoga poses and have us breathe into our pelvis for 15, 20, 25 minutes at a time. And I thought I had a pretty good understanding of the pelvic floor through my yoga practices, through knowing how to breathe into the pelvis and through being aware of Mula Bandha, which is this root lock that's often used and cued in yoga classes, although many people really don't understand what it is or how to do it. And then what happened, time passed and I had two children, and after I had my second child, I birthed naturally my second child. I was having a lot of pain in my pelvic floor. And so it was just one of those things where I was lying around on my bed feeling in pain, and I reached down with my hand to feel where the pain was in my pelvic floor, and I realized that when I pressed on it, the pain went away. Mm. And I was like, wow, okay. So this is muscular. And in my head, I had already gone to what's wrong with me. I had some tearing when I birthed the child. I figured my body was broken and there was no way to repair it. But when that happened, I remembered that a friend had told me about her friend who had gone to see a pelvic floor physical therapist. and that when she went to see the pelvic floor physical therapist, her friend received internal massage, which is in through the vaginal canal, massaging inside the region of the vaginal wall and all the muscles in there. There's many muscles. And that when her friend received it, she just started crying, like sobbing, and didn't know why. And so as I was pressing and I felt the muscle release, I remembered that story. And I thought, okay, I'm going to call up a pelvic floor PT. Not to mention, actually, my midwife had been telling me to do that for a while and had been ignoring her because I figured I already knew everything about it because I'm such an advanced yoga practitioner.
Yeah.
But I did, and I went in, and I received internal massage. And the woman was so present with me, so kind, full of compassion. And she said, you know, it is really tight, and this tension is really, really old. This is not from the birth, from birthing this child. This has been there for a long time. And I felt really different after I received the massage because she released all these muscles that I didn't even know had been holding. Walking felt different, breathing felt different, mentally I felt different. But that got me, you know, thinking. I started thinking, like, back, you know, to my past and wondering when this started. And actually one of the exercises that we do in the healing of the pelvic floor is to write the history of the pelvic floor.
Mm.
So I went back and I remembered. The main thing I remembered is I had a really big fall in my 20s where I fell down a waterfall and I hit my pelvis against the rock and rotated my pelvis and was in low back, was in pain for the next 7 years, which is actually what got me into yoga because it's the only thing that helped me feel better. But then I started to think way back and I just remembered like when I was 16 and I had a lot of anal itching. Right? So I was like, Mom, there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is. So she took me to the doctor, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor examined me and said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. You know, and I was like, okay. And, you know, just thinking back to, like, early sexual experiences I had had, and that's kind of when this anal itching started, and, like, I just started to really question what the heck is in these muscles and these tissues.
Yeah.
And so it really just opened up like Pandora's box for me. You know, a lot of stuff was revealed and I signed up to do a week-long pelvic floor yoga teacher training with Leslie Howard, who has a book about the pelvic floor called Pelvic Liberation, and it's kind of a pioneer in the yogic field with this work. So I spent a week with her in New York City, and I did my, I got my certification to be a pelvic floor yoga teacher, which was amazing. I learned so much. And from then on, I've been working both privately with people and in groups with people, you know, to create more healing and understanding around the pelvic floor. Yeah. Part of the journey of healing.
Yeah, well, I love, you know, the image or the metaphor of Pandora's box, right? Because there are these moments in our lives that we have no idea that they're going to, like, just take us, right? Like, we think we're going straight, and we're like, oh, actually, I'm going to come over here. And then when we allow that, what else opens, right? So I think so many people, you know, we think we have a pretty good understanding of our body, but there's so much, you know, even working with biofield tuning, there's so much unconscious blockages that we hold in our bodies that as we're busy surviving, you know, and working and parenting and all of these things, we don't really stop to think about. So Emily, I'm wondering because you have gone down right this rabbit hole and you're pretty deeply in it now. If you could just kind of give us a pelvic floor 101, like what is it? why work with it, both physically but also energetically, or even thinking about the chakras, right? Like, what is going on in this arena, and what would lead people to want to do some work in this area? How would we know?
Yeah. Well, I love what you say about the unconscious, and I always think it's interesting if you do study what's called Mula Bandha in yogic technique, which is actually a contraction of the pelvic floor, a lifting of the first chakra, the Muladhara chakra, an energetic lift. One of the things that Mula Bandha does is it brings up things from the unconscious and brings them into our conscious awareness. So when we're working with this area, even from the yogic perspective, we're really working with the unconscious. Right? Physically, it's three layers of muscle that attach from sitting bone, pubic bone to tailbone, and it's literally what holds our pelvic organs. So these three layers, the sheath of muscle, and the innermost muscle is actually a diaphragm, which is meant to move when we breathe. And then sitting on top of this layer, these layers of muscle is, you know, either the prostate or the uterus in the center, the bladder in the front, and the rectum in the back. So it's kind of the carriage for these pelvic organs. And one of the reasons it's really helpful to work with it is that when that pelvic diaphragm, that innermost layer of muscle, is oriented and moving, you know, all the layers work together. And when that's moving, when we're breathing, we're massaging and nurturing all of our pelvic organs. So anything dealing with, you know, prostate issues, bladder issues, digestive issues, all of it benefits from having a healthy working pelvic floor.
I'm thinking of so many things as you're talking about that, including that so many people just don't have any awareness of how to breathe, right? So sometimes in my sessions, I feel like that's where we really start, is just learning how to breathe and to relax the lower belly, right? And you know, especially, you know, feminine identifying people, like there's so much taught about, like, you know, suck in the belly, take up as little room as possible, right? So the idea of softening the belly and taking up more space can feel pretty unnerving, if not life-changing for people, right, when they kind of go in and do that.
Yeah, I remember this was, again, in my 20s, like, and I was doing yoga for a few years, and I started to learn how to breathe, you know, how to use my diaphragm, which, you know, needed my belly to move, and I used to get really bad headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I realized that, you know, my pants were too tight.
Yeah.
My jeans were too tight. And so I said, I'm not doing this anymore. Right? And I stopped wearing the too tight jeans, and my headaches went away.
Yeah.
Now, like, literally, I was literally constricting my ability to breathe to my own detriment.
Yeah, I don't wear jeans anymore. I wear all sorts of things all the time. Only jeans up top, I guess, up top. Yeah, so Emily, I mean, something that we do say in yoga a lot is how, you know, the issues are in our tissues, right? So mm-hmm. we say it, right, and it's something that we kind of have an awareness of. But I'm really struck by, and I love when you say, like, you know, I thought I knew everything there was to know about the pelvic floor, like how many layers there can be here. And so I'm wondering what you find, what kind of issues and traumas even can manifest in the pelvic floor. And I'm also thinking when you're talking about how the pelvic floor holds the you know, the uterus, the prostate, how much trauma can be stored in the reproductive organs, right? So what are some of the energetic issues or patterns that you find when working with people? Can you hear me, Emily?
Yes, I can hear you now. It got a little broken up, yeah.
Okay. So I was just wondering what kind of issues and traumas you find, like, in the pelvic floor, not just physically, but also energetically, and just thinking how, you know, if the pelvic floor is what is holding the reproductive organs, right, the uterus and the prostate, if there's anything that's also connected to these, to the reproductive organs.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much energy. Physically, you know, it's really interesting. Like I mentioned, you know, anal itching, which is not something people love to talk about, but like that can be due to pelvic floor tightness.
Okay.
I mean, hemorrhoids can be due to pelvic floor tightness. Some of the more known things are when you can't hold in your urine. I know that has a name, which I can't remember. But also if you have to empty your bladder a lot, many, many times a day, that's a sign of tension in the pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
So those are directly related to the organs. Menstrual pain can be connected to the health of the pelvic floor. Anxiety, headaches, TMJ, jaw tension,
mm-hmm.
low back pain, hip pain, all of that can be connected to the health of the pelvic floor. So those are physical. Energetically or emotionally, definitely anxiety. I mean, in the yogic philosophy, anxiety is too much energy in the head, right? And if there's too much energy in the head, I think of it as almost like you have a water balloon and you're squeezing the bottom of it. It's so tight in the bottom that all the energy is getting pushed up and then your mind can't stop moving. So when you release this and let the energy move down into the pelvis, it has a very calming effect for the nervous system. So it can help with anxiety. And then energetically, first and second chakra, our ability to feel grounded, to feel rooted, to feel connected, our sense of stability, all of that is connected to the pelvic region.
So I'm wondering, when people come to work with you with the pelvic floor, do they know that they're going to work on the pelvic floor, or do you start working with people and then it becomes apparent that this is the kind of the avenue to go towards?
Yeah, it goes both ways. Sometimes, often I have referrals from the pelvic floor PT who will send people to me to teach them how to breathe and to teach them yoga poses to help with the health of the pelvic floor. But also oftentimes, you know, it will come up, and actually oftentimes it happens when we're starting and we're learning how to breathe, and I can realize that there's not breath moving into the pelvis. And so we start working with breathing into the pelvis, and then we'll start to notice if there's tension there, how we work with it. And sometimes people are like, oh, I remember when I had that fall when I was 6 years old, you know, and literally this holding has been happening since they were 6 years old. And this could be someone who's in their 40s now. And sometimes it's one of those things where they have completely forgotten about the incident that had ever happened. And then when we start to go in there and they realize there's this holding, it's like, oh, yeah. So it happens both ways.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense with me. When I work with tuning forks, it's often we're going back to very early ages. And I even know in my personal healing journey, you know, like I had the big T traumas that I thought, like when I was doing my healing work, like this is what I need to work on. But it ended up being like these very small things that like were still needing attention and healing, you know, just from younger years that I minimized. I didn't identify as trauma, right? Whether it was emotional or that the physical impact on the body, talking right, fall, and it to be stored in the body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, I imagine that when you were talking about doing the internal massage, that this can be changing experience for people. And I'm wondering if there's any fear, right, or even like physical blockages that will come up when working with the pelvic floor, because we can consciously want to heal. But then when we're going into the places that scare us, right, both our bodies, and our minds can kind of shut us off from actually doing that work. Do you find that coming up at all when you do this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's always important to go slow, go at your own pace, make sure you have your support system in place. Sometimes when people start the internal massage, at first it's a little bit scary. They're not used to the feeling of the tissue, and to know that you can reach out and say, this is what I experienced, is this normal, you know, can be helpful to have someone there to support you. And I found that that will then encourage people to continue, whereas without that, they might be like, no thanks, I'm not going back. And then for some people, I think, you know, if we have been holding, it's also a trauma response. One of the first thing that happens when we experience trauma, you know, it's something that overwhelms our system, is that the pelvic floor tightens up. It's a physical, unconscious response to trauma. And so if we haven't yet released that through our healing work, it's likely still there. And as we begin this process of unpacking that and releasing that, it can feel very vulnerable. There's a reason that we've been holding. We've been holding to protect ourselves, and to release that protection, you know, you don't, and you haven't yet figured out where you're going to find that stability or that sense of safety, if that's where it's been. That's certainly an emotional process that is vulnerable and requires, you know, feeling safe in your environment and in your support system to be able to allow for that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about, we don't have a lot of cultural permission, right, in the U.S. and in dominant culture to really be embodied, right, and to have a deep connection with our body, right? Like there's a reason that yoga studios are so popular, right, in gyms, because there are like these certain sanctioned places where it's deemed safe to go a little bit deeper into your body. When you're talking about, you know, anal itching or like finding out these things, right, like there can be so much fear to just talk about the body. I know, you know, like my middle-class white upbringing, like we didn't talk about the body. It was not something we talked about. And making my way to Ayurveda was really, really healing because everything is about digestion, right? And so just learning that it was okay to talk about it, right, and to actually share that with people and to not have this fear of just talking about these intimate practices of the body. So we are going to take a break in a couple of minutes. And when we come back, I'm wondering if you can share a little more with us about how your relationship to your body has changed through this practice, and also how your relationship to other bodies has changed through this practice. I know when I made my way to Ayurveda, what I had kind of perceived as like quote-unquote negative personality characteristics in people, when I started looking through doshically, I was like, oh, they're just out of balance, right? They don't mean to bite my head off. They just have like a pitta imbalance right now, right? Or even personality traits that I thought were bad in myself, I was like, oh, no, right? Like this is just a sign of imbalance, and I can bring myself back. Emily, before we go to break, I'm wondering if you can, again, just remind listeners how they can find out more about your work.
Yeah, I have a couple of websites, laughingriveryoga.com and emilygarrettyoga.com, where I offer one-on-one sessions and also group classes and workshops and training.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Please come back. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what this pelvic floor work has taught Emily about the interconnectedness of mind, body, and spirit, and how healing the pelvic floor can help us to cultivate more compassionate relationships in our life. Tune in
listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune into the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Welcome back to Heart Change Consciousness. We are here with Emily Garrett today of Laughing River Yoga and Emily Garrett Yoga, talking about the work that she does with healing the pelvic floor and how this trauma work can lead us into a deeper relationship with ourselves, with our bodies, and ultimately with each other. So, Emily, before we left, I was talking a little bit about when I started working with Ayurvedic doshas and how that changed how I was interacting with people, right? So instead of seeing, anger or kind of spaciness or all these kind of qualities as quote-unquote negative qualities, I was able to just look at them and recognize them as signs of imbalance. And I'm wondering, in your work, working with people with the pelvic floor, if this has shifted how you relate to people and signs of healing of the pelvic floor that you recognize.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great question. It's not actually something that I necessarily would verbalize, but I think what you're saying is really true. I think one of the things that I've fine-tune my ability to see or maybe look for is just the sense of where the energy is in the body. And even though energy is full and it's everywhere, just the sense of kind of being aware, like the thing about working with energy, and especially when working with a pelvis, is that we want the energy to be flowing through the pelvis and through the low belly. And then we also want to be able to contain and move that energy, which is really more of the traditional hatha yoga practitioner, you know. And I think what happens is oftentimes we skip the building or the opening of the energy and just try to force it and move it through muscular effort. And I think that's what can get missed in a lot of our yang yoga practice or physical exercise. It's like build, strengthen, tighten, which we need, right? But we also need to be able to have that suppleness, that soft belly, that spacious pelvis where the breath is flowing and the energy is flowing. And then once the energy is flowing, you can contain and move it. So it becomes a much more delicate balance and subtle work in terms of, okay, first the energy is going to flow, then I'm going to lift it and move it. So I definitely when I'm teaching classes, I can notice where there's the ability to soften and release and allow, and then where there's the effort and, you know, the effort, the fine-tuning of being able to use the diaphragm, access the pelvis, and so without that, the energy is up higher, the breath is higher in the chest, the throat, you know, the head. There's a lot of movement down here, and it can even show up in actual, like, lots of fast physical movements, as opposed to that sort of more grounded sense of energy in the pelvis where there can be a little bit more stillness and fullness. So I think I see that. I see the stillness and the fullness, and then also the kind of constant movement, which I guess we could call rajas and tamas. Mm-hmm. And where is there more? Where is that less? Where is that balance? Where is that imbalance? And, you know, how it shows up in just the way we communicate and the way we hold space for one another and the way we move, which is really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm as you're saying that, I'm reflecting on my changing yoga practice. And, you know, I think a lot of people come to yoga because they're looking for healing, right? And whatever kind of layer of the body. And when I started, you know, I was all about the yang classes, right? I had like a lot to work through. And I didn't really understand, I didn't know that I was anxious, right? Or the tension that I was holding in my body, or, you know, how much of a pitta imbalance I had. And the more I started doing my healing work and meditating and breathing, the slower my yoga practice has become, right? And I think sometimes even with my students, they're like, what happened to her? Like, she used to be doing these yang classes, and I'm like, let's just hang out in Sphinx pose. This feels really nice. So it's interesting to think about how when we work with the pelvic floor, which, you know, I know you were talking about just the vulnerability of it, but for me, coming out of that trauma state and slowing down, like, I'm just perpetually surprised at how much earth I have in my constitution. And I feel like I'm relearning myself, right? Like, oh, right? Like, you know, all of these aspects you thought were you, this was really your trauma running the show. And that trauma was really manifesting in tension in the body, right? Just that tightness. Yeah. So I guess I'm wondering, from you doing your healing work with the pelvic floor, if you've noticed shifts in your life and how you feel in your body and in your speech patterns, your relationships, like, what has this looked like for you?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Early on, I remember I wrote a blog post, and I think it was titled something, How Pelvic Floor Yoga Helped Me to Stop Yelling.
Yeah, that's apt.
because I would react. I mean, I still do, but just kind of this, which is, you know, I've learned is a trauma response, this reactive rage state that can happen. We get triggered and we just start, we can't, you know, we react and we yell. And of course, that's what happens in my most intimate relationships. And so, you know, and I think what was happening, again, is, yeah, there's just, like, all this tightness, this tension inside, and just the littlest thing set it off, you know. So learning how to take time. I mean, one of the things about it is that I have to take time by myself, for myself, to make sure my pelvic diaphragm is moving. And so that means that I take 10 minutes every afternoon, which I usually do, and lie down and put my legs up on a chair, on my bed, and just breathe and get my main diaphragm, my pelvic diaphragm moving. That's become a habit that then keeps me more grounded and centered, you know, through the rest of the day. So I'm less likely to lose my temper. I'm less reactive with my children. And so that's a big piece of it is kind of managing that fight or flight response, like as you mentioned, by having practices to balance my nervous system. And then the other thing that happened after I had did the pelvic floor the week long is I noticed a lot of desire come back. You know, I think I had been pretty cut off from my desire, having it is really so interesting how, you know, choosing to have children comes from this place sometimes, often, of like love and desire, and then having children sort of just put the real wedge in that desire. You know, just going to get up and feed the baby. So having, you know, when I did the training, my youngest was 2 years old, and I was able to come back and just feel more desire and appreciate more intimacy in my romantic relationship. And I think that's actually stayed, just like having, and also recognizing, and this is part of the real healing work, I think, is that before really doing this work, I never really thought of my pelvic floor, you know, my vagina, my sex organs as like being mine, you know, in some ways, like these were useful for others.
Yeah.
And so starting to do the internal massage on a more regular basis and the breathing and the real conscious cultivation of energy into the pelvis and into the floor, even understanding the muscular patterns that are in my own body, which is something I never knew before, it's really helped me to claim this area as a part of my whole body, where I think it's very common that we're a little disconnected.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about, you know, because I do somatic coaching work, and I find that the pain bodies, right, are often between the sacral and the solar plexus, which is just like all of this undigested emotion, but also inherited trauma, so intergenerational trauma, right? Like it's in the reproductive organs. And so it's fascinating to me that the sacral chakra, like which is about intimacy and desire, is also this place for so much pain, right? And so it becomes this thing where like we have to be able to work and sit with the pain and kind of ask like, what is the trauma? Like, what am I, you know, what am I being asked to look at and process in order to get that energy flow back, right? Because it's not just, you know, it's not just sex. It's just like the juice of life, and it's where we manifest from and create from. And it's interesting. I'm even thinking, Emily and I just, full disclosure, we just did a workshop on waking up to whiteness at Laughing River Yoga, and we were talking about white supremacist culture and how it cuts white folks off from our own bodies, right? And how much fear there can be to go into your body and find this trauma, to unearth this trauma, because, like, what are you going to find out about yourself, right?
Yeah.
But how, you know, the work that you're doing, you know, taking 10 minutes a day to go deeper into your body and to really recognize what's there, I'm wondering what would happen with more cultural permission to do this work, right? Instead of just kind of looking around and noticing how other people are showing up, to be able to come back into our bodies and be like, okay, what's happening for me right now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. I mean, it's pretty powerful now at this point. Do the internal massage. I know exactly where my really tight spots are, and I can release them. And when you release them, the blood starts to flow, there's more warmth. So it's just like you're talking about, in the sense that those like cut off hard, you know, places, we want to get the blood flowing and moving back into them, whether it's a muscle or an energetic place or an emotional place. And it's really powerful when we start to cultivate those tools to realize, oh, well, if I spend a little bit of time with myself with these tools, I can actually do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I love when you're talking about feeling, you know, like feeling disconnected from your body, like this is like this thing that I'm kind of in it, but it's not really mine, and coming into that place of sovereignty and just how empowering it can be to figure out how your body works, right? It's like we're a puzzle, and we have like, you know, all of these different layers of the puzzle, but the physical body is a really important piece of that puzzle that creates the foundation. And then the pelvic floor is literally, right, it's the root chakra, which is the foundation for just the ability to feel safe, right, and have our needs met.
Yeah.
So, Emily, I'm thinking when we were talking a little bit about what we might talk about today, as we were talking about the pelvic floor, in our discussion, I was suddenly like, am I clenching my pelvic floor? What is happening in my pelvic floor right now? How would I know, right? And it spun me out a little bit. And so I'm wondering if if you could share with us any tips for working with your pelvic floor, or how to start shifting awareness to notice what's going on in the pelvic floor, and any other kind of information that you think might be beneficial for people to know.
Well, it's funny because I'm constantly checking and making sure I'm breathing into my pelvis. You know, it's become a habit of mine. So even throughout this conversation, I went checking and I'm aware of that.
Me too. I have that.
All right, Trish. Doing it together. Yeah, I think the best way to start is to learn how to breathe into the pelvis. And once you start to breathe into the pelvis, then you can start to notice when you're not breathing into the pelvis and when you're clenching and gripping. And then you have choice around that. You can choose to soften and relax and allow the pelvis to breathe. Some things that are simpler, you know, cues that we can think about is that as you inhale, the pelvic floor opens and widens, and as you exhale, it closes and narrows. So in yoga class, we'll often cue, like, as you inhale, feel your sitting bones widen, and as you exhale, feel them narrow. Or you can imagine your pelvis like a parachute, you know, that's pointing downwards, and as you inhale, the parachute of the pelvis opens, and as you exhale, it closes. And if you do that in a pose, like child's pose, where you're naturally opening the pelvis, you can really start to feel the movement of the pelvic diaphragm.
So it's a retraining, really, just like where you're sending your attention. And, maybe I think those visuals can be helpful for people, too, to imagine what this looks like.
Yeah, and I think the main diaphragm is something we talk about more. The pelvic diaphragm isn't always talked about, but it works with the main diaphragm. So it's really, yeah, just moving your attention lower than the lower belly, going all the way down to the root of the spine when you breathe. Yeah.
And you were saying a little bit about how to know, like, when your pelvic floor is open.
I lost you. Okay, go ahead.
You were just saying before that when you go to urinate, you can tell if your pelvic floor is healthy.
Yeah, so I also didn't mention if the pelvic floor is too loose, there's things like prolapse where your uterus will, or your bladder or your rectum can actually start to fall out. That's prolapse. So if that's the case, we need more strengthening in the pelvic floor to help hold things up. But one thing to know, which is just so common, and so I like to share this with people, is that if you are emptying your bladder and you count the length of your stream, if it's less than 10, your bladder wasn't actually full and you didn't actually need to empty your bladder. And so part of the training is to actually, if that's the case, wait a little bit longer and train your bladder to fill up before you empty it. And often that's connected with a tight pelvic floor. There are different symptoms connected with tight, loose, and healthy.
And so if it's tight, then just holding off, does that help to build the muscle? Does that strengthen it?
Yeah, it gives, well, it's kind of like if the muscles of the pelvic floor are really tight, they're squeezing on the bladder, and so the bladder doesn't have as much room to fill up.
Right.
And so you might actually feel like you have to empty your bladder. Sometimes it's simply training where if you were pregnant, you know, there wasn't a lot of room for the bladder, so it can be just a habit that you got into, or a habit of if you live in a city and you know you need to empty your, you know, bladder before you go out because you're not going to be near a restroom. So there's the habitual thing, but yes, also the muscles, we're training the bladder to fill with more space in the muscles. There's more room for that to happen. But also as it fills more, it will stretch the muscles a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, well, when you were talking about prolapse, I was thinking in biofield tuning, we find that issues with the rectum are really connected to an inner critic, so a strong inner critic, or just like you should be doing things this way, you shouldn't be doing things that way, which, again, if we're thinking, like, there's so much constriction, right? It's like this internalized yang energy that becomes directed at the self. And so I liked earlier you said something about just allowing, right? It feels like so much of this work, you're talking about in some of the more yang practices or working with Mulabandha, it's about, you know, intentionally, consciously moving the energy, but not just allowing, right? And that spaciousness. And I'm just thinking that that's also kind of a metaphor for our culture, right? Of like having to, like, you know, do something with it instead of just being in this state of allowing and spaciousness and being, and how that can be part of the practice. Emily, I know that you're also a meditator, and so I'm wondering if your meditation practice also informs your work with the pelvic floor.
I mean, yeah, most definitely. I mean, one thing also that's really helpful is posture. So when I sit in meditation practice, I generally do sit up, and I found that practice of sitting upright and sitting really aligned on the pelvic floor, it does allow that, you know, the integrity of the spine, it's more healthy in the pelvic floor when I'm sitting upright. It's training my body to sit upright and then be with and everything that arises, you know, whether it's comfortable, uncomfortable, the emotions that arise, the thoughts that arise, I'm simply going to sit there and be with it. So there's a certain sense of alertness and integrity and, you know, dignity to the posture, but there's also this huge amount of space of simply allowing, and it's like standing tall and allowing this all to move through me. And, you know, one of the things that actually really tightens up the rectum is sitting on the tailbone. So when we're sitting back on our tailbone, kind of slump asana, it puts a lot of pressure and tension in the rectum, and it's that fear response, like a cat sitting on its tail.
Yeah.
So Leslie Howard, she always talks about liberating the tailbone, or she says we're a culture of mother tuckers.
Really good.
Which is so true, you know. And, you know, I think 80% of the U.S. is constipated, you know, so all of that tension in the rectum. So posture, which meditation helps with, and yes, that piece of I can stand tall amidst, you know, whatever it is that is arising and be with it, right, but not have to hide from it, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, and so much is integrated in our meditation practice as well.
Yeah, and I'm actually reflecting when you're talking about the tailbone, that's how I came to yoga. I was having, like so much low back pain, like around the tailbone area, just from, well, I'm a nerd. I was reading too many books. I was reading all the time. And so that's what brought me, right? And everything else was just kind of, like, I had no idea what yoga would open for me. I just didn't want to have pain anymore. But then it did teach me how to breathe, which then allowed me to, you know, come back to myself. And when I came back again after leaving, it was after having my daughter, which, you know, does wreak havoc on your body. You know, it really brings things out of whack. Yeah, so Emily, we're coming near the end of our time together. So I'm wondering if you can just let listeners know one more time just how they can find you, maybe more a little bit about like how you work with people one-on-one, and then anything else you want to leave our listeners with today.
Sure, yeah. So you can find me at laughingriveryoga.com. Our Instagram handle is at laughingriveryoga, and also emilygarrettyoga.com. And I teach classes, trainings, workshops, intensives. One-on-one with people, I actually have developed 3- and 6-month programs. And my 3-month program, I have one specifically designed for working with the pelvic floor, which is called Uncoil the Serpent. And it's the journey through all that arises, you know, using yoga techniques, breathing, storytelling, you know, history, all of that dialogue to work through and heal the, you know, physical, emotional, mental, and energetic landscape of the pelvic floor and the pelvis. And I think that's, you know, what I love so much is this idea of just reclaiming our bodies as our own and not in a selfish, you know, protective way, but really in an embodied full way in the sense that, wow, like I live in this body and I can choose to actually live in this body and fill it with, you know, what I want to fill it with and make choices around how I relate to it. And I do feel if we all have more tools around how to do this, we will have a much healthier community. It's easier to have conversations with others when I can feel grounded and present in my body, you know, and be less reactive. I can listen better. And I can express myself more from an authentic place. So that would be my hope for all of us is to, you know, allow that embodiment, that intelligence to connect more authentically with one another.
Yeah, that nourishment, right, that we're worthy of nourishment and we're worthy of our own attention and care, right, which
yeah.
Capitalist society does not tell us or reflect back to us.
Yeah,
and that's so much what I think about, just that inner flows outer. So when you were talking about constipation, you know, if most of the country is constipated all the time, that's not a really comfortable place to be in, you know. So to be able to, you know, take care of your needs and give yourself permission to do that work and know that you're worthy to do it, of course that comes out in our relationships because when our own needs are met, right, of course we want everyone else's needs to be met too.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you so much, Emily, for coming on and talking with us today. Thank you all for tuning in to Heart Change Consciousness, and I'll be with you next month. Thank you for tuning in to Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher. Make sure to come back next time so we can continue to awaken your soul purpose. Look forward to more conversations with your favorite authors, changemakers, influencers, activists, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. For more information about me and Transformative Consciousness Coaching, visit TransformativeConsciousness.com. That's TransformativeConsciousness.com. This was Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. We're on I-5 northbound, still just before the West Seattle Bridge and past Alboro Place, Michigan Street exits. It's heavy on up into downtown Seattle. Good thing, though, it'll break free after yesterday. It's express lanes and a few of those downtown Seattle exits. It definitely smooths out on the other side of the 570. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. The Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin, bridging the mystical and scientific. Topic for the show, Weed from the Chat, finding what really matters. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Trey Thomas. President Biden is just hours away from sitting down with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The two will meet in Geneva, Switzerland, for the first time since Biden took office. Biden has vowed to press Putin on key issues, saying he'll establish clear red lines in areas where they disagree. Among the topics Biden will likely bring up are recent cyber attacks, Ukrainian sovereignty, and Russian interference in U.S. elections. The Senate is sending the House a measure that would make Juneteenth a national holiday. Juneteenth will be observed this weekend, and a new poll shows more Americans understand the importance of the day. Rory O'Neill reports.
Some may know a little or a lot about the anniversary of that day in 1865 when slaves in Texas were told of their freedom. Those slaves were informed more than 2 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. A federal court is blocking President Biden's pause of oil and gas leasing. The court in Louisiana issued a temporary injunction after more than a dozen states sued over the move. Biden ordered his administration not to issue any new leases in offshore waters or public lands so they could conduct an environmental review. The pilot who safely landed an airliner in the Hudson River is now landing an ambassador position. President Biden nominated Chancellor Sully Sullenberger to be his ambassador to the United Nations agency that works to develop global aviation standards. You're listening to NBC News Radio.
I think it's a vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kids.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the clouds. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. What was the partly sunny skies today? High temperatures around 71, 72 degrees. Tonight?
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is the Hour of Healing Power. In this live call-in show, The Healing Hour, I'm going to take your calls and help you get started on your day to maximum potential. Healing Hour will start your day off right. Insights and practical health knowledge, the concepts for how you really live. I'll take your issue and help guide you with a blend of scientific medicine and the esoteric, including shamanic energy medicine. So let's shake off some of that mystery and get started on how to really live. Together, let's get unstuck. So come on and join in, join up, and let me help, and let go of what holds you back from being the maximum you the world needs. Take down this call-in number, 1-800-930-2819, and let's get started on the Healing Hour right now.
Healing Hour, and I'm here with Dr. Pat. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited about this. Hey, everybody. It's great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. This is a really important show for a lot of reasons, and Dr. Martin's going to take us through why it's important. You know, the episode is called Weed from the Chat. Weed from the Chat. Some people say chat, some people say fat, whatever it is. It's a process, and something important happens. How do you find what really matters? And, you know, Dr. Martin, look, you are upfront, close, and personal. A small business owner, we have
a different understanding perhaps of what it has looked like for 18 months, and perhaps people that have corporate jobs and have to work from home, people that have worked in industries that are no longer opening, I guess, except in New York, California. I think California was opening up everything. So it was like, boom, open it up. But whatever it is, things have been stripped away. Isn't that the problem?
All of this things being tossed up. And I kind of thought about that when, and I live out in the country now, having been a city girl up through college and medical school. But I live in the country now, and when you harvest wheat and you go to collect the stuff that is milled and then made into flour, you take the stalk with the, I don't even know what it's called, but the, all the little wheat berries are there, and you've minimum 18 months because COVID did a number on us, still doing a number on us, feels like we're in the threshing. But what I wanted to talk about today, which I think is really important, is that inside all of this throw the stalks up in the air and wait for the wheat berries to fall and go through the sieve and get collected, we're going to find the kernels of truth. We're going to find them, and then maybe in your quiet time, you've had time, and maybe the stimulus checks that helped you get by, and you had time to start writing or painting, or you found out that, you know, all of that stuff you were doing for an Etsy account, you finally had time to do, or you went in your garage and you cleaned out all the old Barbie dolls, or do you remember Beanie Babies in my soul, but oh no, Beanie Babies. And to that Monday, whatever it is, you are boxing the wheat berries, and I think that he knew.
Jessica is sitting in the other room, you know, oh my God. You know, I don't even, I want to hope she's not even listening. And so, Jacob, do not say anything. But the point is this, we're being called to do more. And I had this idea the other day because I'm working with you. I'm so honored to work with you. I'm so honored to see and read the book you're writing and what the world needs. And you know what I love about this, Sharon, is that what we're doing as a network to magically manifest as we're coming out of, some people say 18 months. I actually said it's 1 minute. But here you are. You've prepared for this your entire life to help people. And what I want to say is when you all are listening to The Healing Hour or you're listening to Maximum Medicine, anything with Dr. Sharon Martin, it's a live call-in show. It's also Facebook Live. It's also type your comments. And very shortly, I'm hoping, I don't know, I don't want to call in. My problem seems like, you know, it's not big enough. No. Every situation, every problem has caused us to hit the pause button in our lives right now. You know, Sharon, even for us as a network, we had to do some amazing things to still be here. Our sister station, KKNW, and the working relationship I have with them, and Eric Prima, and Eric Burris, and Benny, and the entire team over there, and the team at Hubbard. I mean, if it wasn't for those relationships, now and what you do to say, wait a minute, if the universe is going to give you what you want, let me help you organize this in a way so you get the best of what you want and not the worst.
Well, that's so true. I just want to back up and just say one thing. My relationship with other docs during this when I go to work, and when we strip away, hopefully we're stripping away the relationships that didn't work or that were abusive or not good for us. But you're absolutely right. You can't just take everything away and leave the empty space. So what I want to talk about, if anybody wants to call in, you want any of my 2 cents or pennies worth, what is it that really matters? That's what we've got to hold on to. What is it that beauty? And the beauty is we have a chance to really grab the basic things that give us joy, the basic things that make our hearts sing. And we have the opportunity now, many of us have quiet time, to be able to say, okay, now I can really feel into this. And that's what
never really felt good. I don't want to do that anymore. So, yes, please call us going on right now, because I think it's critical timing in the world.
You know, I want to talk about also reaching out, and this is really critical today, and I want to give out that number, 1-800-930-2819. I reached out to you, and I said, you know, I have a couple of friends, and one of them had a very special birthday, and I have another one, a very special birthday, and I did not want to, how should I say it, I did not want, then traditional, what I was really called to is pick up the phone and say, Doc Martin, look, you are a master at this. People, if you have not watched the blessings that Dr. Martin has done on live on air, if you've not seen her work, you know, please put it together, because this is something you do. It's a service you provide. It's more than just putting a bundle together. It's about putting the energy of wellness, healing, abundance, you know, the magnificence of what's going on in the world. And you're bringing that forward, and yet you are on the front lines, right? You are on the front line.
Right.
And so I want to ask you about this. Institutions are changing. What are you seeing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you an up close and personal example, because it could make me hit crazy down. Thank goodness for this show and the energy that I feel when I'm working in this space, because so there's a little rural hospital, 20 beds, and they own my little rural clinic that I work at. And they financially were challenged, which happened before COVID, but COVID kind of was the icing on the cake. And they cut staff, financially forced to do that. And then in their decisions, they're going to sell the clinic to an organization. Details aren't fit yet. I have no idea what kind of job I'm going to have. Things are so up in the air and crazy. And the good news is, what I hope is going to come out of this, is what we get to formulate when we're forced to strip it down and build from scratch. Hopefully we get to formulate something better. I'll just tell a little personal aside.
Please.
When I saw all the craziness coming in and the tumultuousness in my job, or my potential not job, really hard at not going into fear. But I decided to take a hypnotherapy class to learn how to be certified. I do that kind of deepening with my shamanic energy work, but hypnotherapy comes with a certification that perhaps is less woo-woo to people. You know, shamanic energy, maybe people might get weirded out by it. But anyway, what I found is there's where I can find some joy, is going into that deep space, knowing that I'm guiding somebody for change for their better. That's the kind of energy I want in my life. So those are the wheat berries that I'm going to hang on to, regardless of what all of the financial decisions between the institutions and when they buy it and whether or not this and whether or not that. I can't freak out about that. I'll go crazy. So instead, I just think about the things that make me happy, like being here.
I got to tell you, what we're about to talk about today, and I would love to go ahead and skip the break if you don't mind, Doc Martin, because I want to roll right into what you're talking about. Is that okay with you? Here's why I want to keep rolling on this. Recently, real life things. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know if this is you, but sometimes, you know, in this journey with me, people have looked at me and have said, yeah, that's horrible. Silly is just not that. By the way, that is my last name. I didn't make that up. The silly is really, you know, most everybody calls me the silly. The silly is really not experiencing any hardship. The silly is never, you know, she is like Dr. Pat, right? But recently, it's been so important to share with people. And that's what you and I are doing today.
and I love this quote, and it's more than what I'm about to say. He has a whole big explanation of it. He says, look, here's the problem. Here's where it started. You look at the place where the problem started, you're not going to be able to solve it. You cannot solve the problem at the level that the problem was originated. And, you know, everybody's like, dude, what are you talking about? Do I need any? He was really talking about an integrative, as you say, metaphysical and science solution that you and I are talking about today. And I want to ask you, here we are. Let's talk about finding a new level of happiness, even in the simplification. I've been fired from every job I've ever had, Sharon, to be honest with you. That's why I'm unemployed. But you're talking about moments now where we can, if we have tools, can we learn from simplification?
So I'm thinking about places where I actually chose simplification, or maybe I chose it subconsciously and didn't really know it, or maybe Spirit said, head over there. And I've probably told you this before. I was thinking about selling my house, the animals all around and birds all around. And I guess it was the end of February, maybe beginning of March, and I was working on these ideas about where I was going to move to. And I'm coming down the driveway, which just in coming down the driveway and going past the horse pasture was this sanctuary. And COVID had just really hit our awareness. And I got this loud and clear message, you do not move, do not move. So that wasn't simple because it had all this tell the architect to stop, tell the person I was buying the land from, not going to buy it, all of this. But as it unfolded, when I come home and we're in semi-lockdown, for me, I go to work every day, but other people were in lockdown, that isolation, I stopped, I filled the hummingbird feeders, I sat by the pond and watched the red-winged blackbird. I took pictures of the family, had everybody laugh.
And I'm laughing now.
I should give some pictures up anyway. Took the dogs on a walk around the lake, and I did that every day, and every day that I could. And my sanity increased, my stress went down, and my joy exponentially better. And yet it had nothing of what shop am I going to go to? Am I going to go hit this group of stores? All of that stuff that I used to spin around and do, I didn't do, mostly because we were forced to not do it. But what I found was so much better, so much better. Now, I did have to put up with the sitting on the chair and Zoom for your ways of connecting with people, but to me, sitting on the porch with the hummingbirds buzzing around the feeder.
You know, I want to talk about this further because I don't think you and I, and for those of you out there, this is the show, The Healing Hour. We are taking your calls, and let me just explain a little bit about what that means. You know, we're in the world today, and you may be experiencing something that doesn't allow you to simplify. Maybe the idea of simplification is not anything you can even imagine. Maybe what we're talking about seems like I can't do it for myself, but I'm in relationship with somebody. I need some help with that. Because I'll tell you one of the things that is very clear now about what's coming back in all the studies, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, Sharon. Just about everything we're reading, you know, coming in, and they are experiencing pretty much everything we're about to talk about today. But what is it that you learn from being absolutely stellar professional in medicine as well as a certified professional in metaphysics and shamanism? What happens when you bring those together, but then you add your own experience and you have maximum medicine? Here's what I know. Maybe you're in a relationship and it just gets muggling. Maybe your company's requiring you to go back to work.
And today, for the first time, you hit the road and you found traffic has doubled. Now you have to leave your house a half hour earlier. So how are you going to do that and get back in time to pick up the kids? Or maybe the kids are not back at anything. This is what we're doing today.
I think for me, yeah, that idea of those building blocks are flawed. Those building blocks are not your authentic, true self. Because those are the building blocks you have to use to create what you really want. And I think a lot of times people say, why not? Like, this has to be. And to me, challenge what you think is the rule. Challenge who said, who made that rule? Who made that rule? Did God make that rule? Did Spirit make that rule? No. Somewhere you made that rule. But that rule was made from your heart and brain at the time. This isn't the way you really want it to be. So that building block is when you're in the busy day and the voice of your higher self or your wise one or your spirit says, wait, let's not go there. And you start to listen better. And then stuff changes. So that's what I'm all about. Let me help you do that. If you need help, please. My website is drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com. And my email is sharon@drsharonmartin.com. So get in touch with
for a moment and talk a little bit with you about, you know, why you and I talked about this topic for today. And really, Jessica, we're going to talk about this as we come back from break. But one of the things I'm finding is, what's the word? I love this word. For a long time, I used this word, and you know what? I didn't even have a clue of what it meant. I was pushing a mail cart back at the lab, and one of the engineers that taught me how to juggle used the word paradox. Here we are in the middle of recognizing that things have been stripped away. However, we're also recognizing that things are being, we are, as human beings, are so adaptable. You know, we are so, favorite word, adaptogen. It's us. And we don't even know it. Look at what people have done, Sharon, to adapt to a completely new way of being. I can only talk about the United States. But later, to help us get to burn out and burn up. But look at how we've adapted. Look at how you've adapted.
Well, you know, that's what I think when we see our institutions, does all of what's happened hurt? Absolutely. When we think about the numbers of young black men killed by police, that hurts. And many of our hearts is, we don't want it that way. And we're going to demand that it changes. And so in that horror comes something better. And my metaphysical and spiritual beliefs are, those young men's souls chose that role because they are changing the world. So that's a powerful place, a powerful role to have held. And
yes,
I don't know if he was in Auschwitz or...
Yep.
And he spent, I think he was a musician, right, Pat?
He was the psychiatrist.
He was fine,
too. Yep. But you're right.
Oh, okay.
He was extremely talented. I mean, Frankl's life before that, he had already started this process. Many people don't know this. He had started this process of looking at the mind and using this power of rewiring on students. But imagine that, Sharon. Imagine being Auschwitz. Many people don't even know what Auschwitz. I had to do a session with a group of young women I mentor, and I decided to talk about Holocaust. But can you imagine being in the worst horrific condition you could ever be in and developing a model to have control of an empowered mind? Can you imagine that? you imagine
and
that?
I think the key that with me is he found beauty in a little weed, a little flower growing up between rocks. He was able to use other building blocks with his mind to create a different reality. And a woman, let me see if I can remember her name. She was in the Rwandan war when the Hutus and Tutsis were killing each other. And she and several others stayed 18 months in a bathroom behind a cupboard, the door hidden. Do you remember?
Yes.
What her name was?
But anyway. Yeah. I interviewed her, but no, I know exactly who you're talking about.
And our human adaptogens that we are, we can search inside ourselves and find beauty. Find something that brings beauty and joy to us. And we can do that in our in our minds and create it in our world, however crazy and horrible it looks.
Yeah, that is Immaculée, and you know, Immaculée has told that story that Doc Martin referenced. The question really is, and I think your point, Doc, is these folks that have these stories, whether it's Immaculée or whether it's Viktor Frankl, many people want to point to them and say they're different. When we come back from break, your message is not that. Your message is no. We all have that ability. We all, Karen Martin, to get us from thinking that we can't, to understanding that we do,
and you actually could. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Doc Martin about what it means to go through and change. And what happens if you are, and I love this, I love you're going to talk about this. What if we are forced to change? Forced to change. How do we do it and not bring all of the resentments of power over with us? That's Doc Martin. When we come back, she's going to talk about that. We also have a very special meditation at the end we're going to do to help with this. But for today's show, if you want to call in, 1-800-930-2819, please go to drsharonmartin.com. That's drsharonmartin.com. We'll be right back.
Adaptogen.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lau, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, miles2gocoaching.com.
Are you ready?
ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy Alves. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Oh my God, Benny, I gotta love you. Where did you pull that out of?
Very far away down deep in the filing cabinet.
Oh my gosh, that was my favorite word. I love that word. And I think we were talking about maca powder from Peru.
Something like that. Yeah, that rings a bell.
Maca root, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was so fun. I love that.
I feel like we're gonna be on our porch. We're gonna be like on our porch talking about that. Oh, the days of maca root and the adaptogen.
Yeah, remember the time when we were talking about a root from Peru?
Yeah, right.
Adaptogen. Actually, that's what we're talking about today with Dr. Sharon Martin, because when Sharon and I talked about getting ready for the show today, we kind of reflected on where we were. Week from the chaff. When we do that, finding out what really matters. How has COVID-19, I keep referring to 18 months. My friend said, dude, it's like way more than 18. I don't know how many months it is, but whatever the months are, for the first time in our history that we can remember, and maybe it happened 5,000 years ago, but for the first time, global pandemic. Now, we have another one I'm not going to bring up today, but yeah, we're in the middle of a global crisis with climate, but that's another show. But for the first time, people are relating to what other people are going through. But what happens when you do strip it away? What happens when you realize your life has changed in ways we didn't expect? What kind of tools can we call them? What kind of tools can we need? I mentioned this earlier. For the first time, you know, in giving birthday gifts to two friends, Sharon, for the first time, I decided to give them a different gift. If you want a blessing for somebody you know, drsharonmartin.com. 833-940-1882. That's her way you get her. But, you know, I love this show for a lot of reasons. Do you know we've been doing this show 18 years? Do you know we have a caller, Jay from Canada, who was,
Jay?
He was a caller and a listener and a viewer and amazing from day one of the show, 18 years ago. Jay. He has come up with some of the most amazing phrases during a show that you would ever want to hear. And he's back with us today. Benny, let's chat with our buddy Jay.
You got him. Go ahead, Jay.
Jay. Hey.
Hey. Glad to hear from you again. Thanks so much for the accolades. Thanks for bringing my energy up.
We're here to help you today, Jay, because I got to tell you, I'm not kidding. You were there day one with me, you know, when my hair was darker and, I don't know, you know, day one, whatever that was. You and Benny.
You were taller?
Wait,
did I mean to flip out like that?
Yeah, go ahead, Benny.
I think we're all taller. No, I was taller too, then. Yeah, right. I lost my hair as well, yeah. Thanks.
You did, but, you know, I saw your picture, Benny, in the camera, so we're going to have to talk.
Okay.
Jay, I know something's on your mind. I know Doc Martin can help you. Tell us.
Yeah, just, something happened at work on Tuesday last week and really shook me. I didn't think it would shake me that much, but it did actually, and it's probably be part of what you're talking about, being forced to change. But I think it was is that you know, I had issues of harming myself, I'm just saying publicly, and go like, well, I just thought about it and go like, where'd this come from? So I, you know, talked to HR and got some time off this week and last week. But you know, like, you know, talk to psychologists and things like that and what to do and just get out in nature and do these other mm-hmm. things. But it just caught me off guard, and I just wondered, like, why would something like that get to me when I'm just so more resilient? But maybe mm-hmm. because, you know, there's a lot of stress in the workplace now because we're doing, instead of doing, like, one job, we're doing two or three now, eh?
Mm-hmm.
If you notice that. But I just wondered, how can I be more resilient?
May I share what I'm getting?
Yeah.
You ready, Jay? May I share what I'm feeling? Jay,
go ahead,
okay if I share what I'm getting?
Yeah, Dr. Martin, go ahead.
Okay. So, first of all, feeling bad generally means some kind of, and I look at it as arrows coming into your energy field. And unfortunately, nowadays, people are unglued. So when they react, it's often over the top, and it's hurtful. So what I feel for you, and I'm so glad you were resilient enough to go to HR, get some time off, and you're in nature. But I'd like you to take time to actually reflect on putting up some boundaries. And your energy field extends outside yourself, but putting up that force shield that to really protect you, because people are not acting totally right these days. And when they lash out, it can be more than they intended, bigger than they intended. And if you are open and you need to be better protected. And the other thing you might want to carry with you at work in your pocket is if you have a crystal that's special to you, or a piece of stone, petrified wood is a good one, tourmaline, obsidian, those are very good protectors. Carry that with you. But just consciously keep your protection up. And if you have spirit guides to help you, ask them to come and really strengthen that boundary so people's They're firing off, they're unglued, and they're spritzing off with stuff. And that hits our field and can be very toxic. So you did the right thing by getting some time off. And you can, as Pat said, we're adaptogens. You have the power to fortify your energy field. And you have the power to put up your barriers and your boundaries. So thank you for calling, and you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Jay, how are you feeling today?
Oh, it's like just getting, you know, I'm going to work tomorrow, so I'm just getting ready for that. So I'm just kind of hold my breath in a way because I don't know, it's going to be a kind of different situation. I think my manager is going to be asking me on questions, but I've got to hold my boundaries and say, you know, this is a private and confidential matter, and just hold it like that because it's just the person wants to know, right? So, but I think other people, I know I've had this.
You know, one of the things you're doing is you're getting outside help, correct, Jay?
Yes.
Okay. This is really awesome. When you get outside help, there are many ways you can do it. Remember we talked about earlier in the show, can't solve the problem at the level it's created. You know, what's happening in the workplace, I'm going to do a number of things about it, but it's happening to you. And so what Dr. Martin said is really true about that. But there are places where you can go, and this is what I highly recommend for you, is you find a place, whether it's HR or EAP in the company or outside the company, where you can sit down with someone and fully express who you are and what you say. Because those are the things that you have to get out. These are the things we're not doing. But you're well positioned to do them. Does that make sense, Jay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've been doing that through EAP, too, yes.
Yeah. And I will tell you that EAP is not exactly, they're trying to catch up. You know, Doc Martin and a few others are going to be doing corporate work to really help people step up and redefine EAP. But you know, the minute you start to feel bad about yourself or start to feel like you want to hurt yourself, you know you got to call that 911 number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't call 911. I actually called the, you know, the
hotline.
Hotline for psychological help if you want to call that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Jay, I'm going to leave you with this. Doesn't matter if you call every second, every minute, every hour. You just dial that phone as many times as you need to.
Yes.
And thank you for calling in. Please keep stay in touch. You're like amazing. It has been. I've taken this journey with you for 18 years. I talk about you a lot. Probably your ears were ringing at moments in my career, Jay. You were inspiration to me when I felt like giving up.
Mm.
You were there. You know, your phrase "spiritual constipation" stays with me all the time. That I give you credit for. You have inspired me in so many, so know that we're here for you, okay?
Yes, that is good.
We're going to do a special meditation. Please, please sit for a minute and see if you can absorb it.
I will.
And don't hesitate to call Doc Martin either. It's amazing.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc Martin.
Good luck, Jay.
Wow. This is what we're talking about. Jay, again, shows up to demonstrate what thousands of people listening to the show are feeling right now. But you have a special blessing for us, and I think this is going to help. But before we should do that, I want folks to know when things like this can come up, people can work with you. They can get clearings. They can sit with you for an hour and work with you either one-on-one for one time or on a regular basis. So this is to help them get through, to learn some tools, to work with you and what you do. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. You know, do you want to go to a short break and come back and do the blessing, or what are you thinking, Doc?
Well, I'm wondering, given our time, would we like for me to record it with Jacob later and upload it as a freebie to everybody? It will be short. If we do it now, it'll be short.
Yeah, we can do that. Let's take a short break, everyone. When we come back, Doc Martin is going to help us understand the power we have to shift and change. We'll be right back.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Pat Basile, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
So if everybody would like to spend this last few moments, let's use this time to get centered and be able to put all of the chaos of the world outside us. So taking some nice deep breaths in with your nose, out with your mouth. Just allow yourself to use these few minutes to drop into what you know is true. Drop into your essence, out of your head, and using your breath. And every time I tell you to breathe, just take yourself deeper into that space of truth, out of your head now, going deeper and deeper, relaxing and relaxing, and traveling with your mind's eye to that divine space within yourself where things are true, where things are not about what people think of you, not about what they might do to you or think they're doing to you. It's not about the craziness. It's about you being centered, calm, in touch with your essence. And as you sit in your sacred space, just envision a circle around you. That circle of is really that energy field around you. That's the boundary of what's yours and what isn't. And let's take that few moments we have left to just see yourself pushing outside the circle, things that don't belong. Things that people have said to you, maybe things you don't want to keep anymore. Push the chaff out and hold on to the wheat. Push it out if it doesn't belong or if you don't want to keep it anymore. And hold on to that nutritious grain of your essence. Clearing your space inside your energy field, clearing it to be of you and you alone. And when you clear it, you can feel what's true for you. You can feel what your heart sings for. You can feel what really matters. Pushing away what doesn't belong. Strengthening those boundaries, strengthening that space of divinity inside you. See it with your mind's eye, or feel it if you're not a visual person, or know it. Strengthening your essence, stripping away what doesn't belong. Keeping everything that's perfect and right for you, everything that supports you and balances you, and pushing away what doesn't feel good, what doesn't belong, what might be other people's toxicity. You don't need it. You don't have to have it. Send it back. Building that boundary, filling that whole space now, that boundary that's like a mosquito netting around you or a cocoon. Just fill that space with golden light, light from the higher source. Fills up your space, strengthening your boundaries, keeping what's really true and what really matters. And pushing away what's unnecessary, what doesn't fit, what you don't want, what somebody tried to send you but you're not keeping. And push it away, filling again and again with golden light as you get stronger and stronger. Just taking a few quiet moments here. To feel your beautiful energy field cleared and filled up with the energy of spirit of your divine essence. scanning with your mind's eye, are there any places you missed? Take the last few moments to strengthen that up. Take the last few moments if you would shift your mind's eye to gratitude. Gratitude for who you are and the difference you've made in the world, even if you didn't know that you did. The difference that you've made. Gratitude for you, your adaptability, your power. And bring yourself back to this time and this place, and you're back.
What a beautiful way. What a beautiful way to, you know, close this episode out today, and what a wonderful invitation for people and a blessing. And, you know, please, for those of you out there, we'll make sure we get the show uploaded. And we still, Sharon, I think your idea, Jacob, please, let's take this meditation part. Let's pull it out. Let's share it globally. Doc, thank you so much for today. Personal message, what would you like to leave us with today?
Adaptogen. We are so much more than we think. And we have the power. And let's change the world.
I love it. Dr. Sharon Martin, please go visit her site. Please connect with her, drsharonmartin.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.